our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda.
Agenda.
The work that needs to be done.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
It's Monday morning, Amy. You know what that means.
It means the agenda.
It also means Marvin Gaye. I mean, I don't know about you. My morning's better already. She's right. It's time for the agenda. This is our quick look at the week ahead, both here at home and abroad. We're going to be talking to Chris Hayes, Washington editor for The Nation magazine, and also Rob Watson, diplomatic correspondent for our partners at the BBC. But first, we're going to start with Chris. All right, Chris, I know that you're actually on vacation in Cape Cod. What a good man to get up early and talk to us. We appreciate it. We applaud you. We do.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Now, when I imagine the president opening up his agenda for the week, it says in big letters, float trial balloon on backpedaling from public health care option. Something like that for this week?
Yeah, although I have to say this is – they've been sort of sowing the seeds of if I can mix metaphors mid-sentence.
We do that a lot on this show.
Yeah, they've been sowing the seeds of folding on this for a while. I mean, I think that there was a period, if you go back about 3 or 4 weeks ago, in which it looked like just in terms of the legislative compromises happening in Congress, the public option was sort of not in very good shape. And then there was a real concerted effort, particularly among progressive House members, to basically draw a line in the sand and say, look, we actually will not vote for a bill that doesn't have a strong public option. And that kind of pushed it back in. The White House has been supporting it, but as you note, they're already sort of announcing that everything seems to be quote-unquote negotiable.
Well, I seem to recall Rahm Emanuel saying very early on that this was negotiable and President Obama saying, no, this is,
exactly.
this has to be in there. So what are we hearing now from progressives?
Well, progressives are – I mean the Progressive Caucus, which is the largest caucus in the United States House of Representatives, they have really attempted to kind of organize internally the caucus and have a strong declarative statement saying, you know, this is the make or break issue for a bill that we will or won't vote for. And of course with, I forget, 60 plus 70 members, you know, if they're actually able to enforce caucus cohesion, they could – kill something. I mean, that actually could be dispositive as to whether it gets passed out of the House or not. So the White House is, as we all have watched this go on, is playing a very difficult balancing game between trying to sort of on one side, you have Mike Enzi from Wyoming, who's a Republican senator who's part of the so-called Gang of Six in the Senate, who's working out the health care compromise. I mean, he is very conservative, with a very conservative record. Voting record and representing a very conservative state, and somehow the White House at some point may be forced to choose whether they're going to have a bill that Mike Enzi votes for or they're going to have a bill that the base of their own party is happy with.
I think you've given me the takeaway phrase for this segment, which is caucus cohesion. Now, we mentioned that you're on vacation. Quickly, the president has a different agenda coming up very soon, a family vacation on Martha's Vineyard. What do you know about that trip?
So they're going to be renting. I was reading about how the very complicated legal arrangements for a vacation when you're the first family. So they're renting a farm in a sort of rural part of the island. It's actually been, I think, the Clintons visited there before, and they're going to be paying for it, right? It's a family vacation, but of course they bring an entire retinue of Secret Service and so forth, and that's going to be taxpayer dollars. So there's a very little complicated bit of legal jujitsu going on. And then there's a lot of excitement, particularly in the Oak Bluffs area of Martha's Vineyard, which is sort of a legendary and historic African-American summer destination and getaway, that this is a coming home, if you will, and there's a lot of celebration around that.
Let's quickly move to some more serious news. Senator Jim Webb is the most senior U.S. official to visit Myanmar in over 20 years, and I think I'm not alone. For a lot of us, when we heard that he was over there to win the release of John Yatta, we went, Jim Webb, Myanmar? Huh? What's going on there?
Well,
what was at stake for Webb?
You know, Webb is kind of an idiosyncratic guy, and his politics, particularly in international politics, have always been idiosyncratic. He's always had a long interest in that region of the world. He's written books about that part of the world. And I think he, you know, obviously the Burmese regime is a brutal and repressive one, and we all kind of have this iconic image of Aung San Suu Kyi and her sort of struggle against the junta there. And Webb, I think, has, you know, is quite different different from most of his colleagues, both in the Democratic Party and basically the sort of foreign policy establishment, in that he's one of the few people pushing more engagement with the Burmese government. This has been something he's actually advocated for quite some time.
All right. We need to keep moving on with our agenda. But Chris Hayes, I want to thank you. Chris Hayes, The Nation Magazine's Washington editor. We're going to turn now to Rob Watson. He is a diplomatic correspondent for our partners at the BBC. Rob, let's move quickly now to the elections coming up in Afghanistan on Thursday. We're hearing a lot about threats toward Afghans who will go to vote. What glimpse can you give us of what we're going to see between now and Election Day?
Well, certainly what the Western countries who have troops deployed in Afghanistan want to see is something that could be described as a credible and legitimate election. Now, notice not the word perfect, ideal, absolutely spot on Western model democracy, but something where at the end of the day you'll be able to say, thank goodness, the government that's emerged from this is legitimate.
So, Rob, what's the likelihood of that?
Well, I think it's going to be a real uphill struggle. Certainly, the Taliban seem to have changed their tactics from 5 years ago. 5 years ago, the Taliban were aware of the fact that many Afghans were really excited about the idea of voting in an election. It was a big deal for them, something new. Because the government is so much less popular now, because there's quite a lot of disenchantment with the way politics work in Afghanistan, and because, of course, the Taliban is now actually saying, we will come and get you if you vote, I think there really are fears in some part of the country as to what turnout will be like.
Rob, we're also hearing a lot about women being the special target of threats. Not to mention, there was also a bill that President Karzai passed into law saying a man can withhold food from his wife if she refuses sex. So, very quickly, what's at stake for women here in this election?
Well, you're absolutely right about this controversy over a bit of law that was designed specifically, I think, to appease the male sector of certain Shiite electorates. Well, you know, I guess what women in Afghanistan would say is that they're deeply worried at this moment in time. They're worried about a resurgence of the Taliban, and they're worried about talk from both the Afghan government and indeed from Western governments suggesting that at some point down the road, some of these people with very hardline views are going to have to be negotiated with, including the Taliban.
All right. Rob, I want to thank you for your time. That's Rob Watson, diplomatic correspondent for our partners at the BBC. And we will be continuing our conversation about the Afghan election so a little later this morning.
So, Catherine, you've heard of The Daily Show, right?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out Afghanistan has their own version called The Danger Bell. And we're going to be finding out how it might be impacting these upcoming elections. Political satire, warlords, sounds like a kind of dangerous
mix. I was going to say,
mix.
Do warlords have a sense of humor?
We'll find out in 10 minutes.
Okay.